Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo,
ah, now, fucker.
Tune in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, you'll get knocked out cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps. We got a good little quick preview for you guys for UFC Fight Night. Derek Brunson versus Edmund Shahbazyan. Just make sure I pronounce that the correct way, because I am, for some reason, known to butcher names on here. Is just part of the job at this point. Just kind of like my MO, as they say. This is a good fight card. There's a lot of good fights on this. A lot of good matchups that I like. Just being a fight fan in general. So a couple of matchups that I'm looking forward to. Obviously the main event. And before we even get into the main event, just to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you guys by the one and only DraftKings, DraftKings.com. Go check them out. Use my promo code FUNKMASTER. You can get your daily fix for daily fantasies. Check it out. There's $1 million cash prizes. You can go to them right now on the website and get a shot to win a free millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. But you have to make sure you deposit a minimum of $5. So go check those guys out at DraftKings after you make your first deposit. And make sure you check the eligibilities for the restrictions only at DraftKings.com. Check them out. So we got the main event. Edmund Shahbazyan versus Derek Brunson. This is a good matchup. Kind of like what I think about this matchup is every time I see Brunson coming into one of these big marquee fights, I don't want to say he's a gatekeeper, but it's almost like if you can get past Brunson, you can get to the next tier of that middleweight division, because Brunson is one of the tough dudes that pretty much has fought everybody. He's kind of had some mixed results, alternating back and forth. Just taking a look at his resume real quick. The last one coming off of a win over Ian Heinsius, a unanimous decision, and over Elias Theodoro, one of our guys that used to come down here and train with us from time to time. He was like a transplant partner who come down to New York whenever he could, and he'll get some work in out here. And before that, he lost to Israel Adesanya. So Brunson's on a 2-fight win streak. He's taking on the undefeated Shahbazyan, and for many good reasons, a lot of people are high on him. Now, he's 11-0. His last fight was a head kick finish over Brad Tavares. Before that, Jack Martian and Marsha Men and Charles Byrd and Darren Stewart. So he's had a lot of good fights on the Contender Series, Antonio Jones, and before that, he fought on the regional circuit. So he's a finisher. You see, he finished round one, split decision over Darren Stewart, Antonio Jones, round one, 40 seconds, KO, round one. So this guy really hasn't gone to the judges almost at all. So he's a finisher, and I can see why Vegas is high on this guy. What are the odds for this? So I believe the salary. So if you want to pick Shahbazyan, I think he's pretty high on the list. Yeah, I think he might be one of the most expensive guys, if not the most expensive salary. Oh, next to Gutierrez. So Gutierrez is actually a little bit higher than him. So Shahbazyan comes in at $9,100 for your salary cap for your team if you're going to put him on your DraftKings team. Derek Brunson is coming in at $7,100. So there's a pretty good lopsided weight on that. Now, I'm trying to see Brunson. Two decisions in a row. His last one, he lost in the first round. Before that, lost in the first round. And he had two finishes in the first round over Daniel Kelly and Lyoto Machida. So he's not like he doesn't know how to finish fights. He does when he gets the opportunity. It just depends on the caliber of opponent. So I'm looking forward to this one to see if Shahbazyan is the real deal or not. Because I think he's a good guy. I'm very talented, young kid. How old is this kid, actually? Let's see if they actually show it. He is 22 years old as per Tapology. Now, that is a young kid coming in here taking on a tough seasoned veteran in Derek Brunson. So I'm looking forward to this one, seeing if Derek can implement his wrestling game. We know he tends to leave his chin up in the air pretty much in every single fight, and that tends to get him in trouble. So a heavy hitter like Shahbazyan could find that chin early and put him out, which would be good for your DraftKings points. So just based on that, I'm leaning towards Shahbazyan. I do think he's a young phenom. I don't know what his grappling game looks like, but he's training over there with Edmund Tavardian, or however you say his name, Ronda Rousey's head coach. So Ronda Rousey's head is high on him, and there has to be some good reason for them to be selling him and high on him for that reason. So I'm expecting him to come out and really look forward to putting on a show in that main event and really solidifying his name and his stake in the division of the middleweight. So he could be the next force, and he could be that new blood that the division definitely needs. I mean, obviously, we got Paulo Costa. Romero's up there in age. You got Robert Whittaker. You got Darren Till. He's young, which brings some fresh life into that division. Now to add a guy who's 22 years old and can also take out Derek Brunson, can he do it as impressively as Israel Adesanya? And we're going to find out. Those question marks are going to be answered for us in a couple of days. I'm definitely looking forward to this. I do think Brunson has the goods, man. He's just one of those guys that's like, he just goes for broke. And if he gets caught early, like I said, leaves that chin up, and against a striker, that's could be ill-advised. Age doesn't really matter. Experience could be a big factor in this matchup. 22 years old is very, very young. I kind of look back at Sage Northcutt, and that kind of lets me know that sometimes it can be too much too soon, depending on the competition. And not like saying Sage fought a guy as well-known as Brunson, but at the same time, Sage had a couple of hiccups with the throat infection and the other fight with Barbarina. And there's a lot of stuff that... It was Barbarina and another guy that beat Sage. But it just kind of goes to show you, like there's no substitute for experience. And when you come in relatively young, I always said in high school, whenever I would wrestle a kid that was younger than me, that was supposed to be the phenom, the kid that everyone's high on, I always said, well, I'm going to beat this kid up because puberty is a thing. So obviously he's 22. That's not really a factor here, but the thing that he can use is experience. So we'll see if Derek Brunson can go out there and spoil the parade and the coming out party for Shahbazyan in this tough matchup, man. Because if he's on a 2-fight win streak, if he could take out another guy who's the UFC is pegging to be the next big thing in this division, that could be huge for Derek Brunson. Maybe we can see some new life in him with when his back is against the wall, where everyone has kind of got him counted out. The next matchup, Jojo Calderwood taking on Jennifer Maia. I don't really remember much of Maya's fights, to be honest. She's lost to Caitlin Chookagian in her last one. And before that, she was on a 2-fight win streak over Roxanne Modafferi and Alexis Davis. And before that, losing to Liz Carmouche. Good fights, I guess, you know, kind of like mixed results, which is expected at the UFC level. Joanne Calderwood, she beat Andrea Lee, split decision. She lost to Chookagian, decision. That was over in Chicago. The poster's in the back, right behind me. She beat Lipsky, who just had a phenomenal knee bar finish. And that was in the first round, too. Nasty knee bar from a calf slicing position, which should never happen. But she made it happen. And she beat Kalindra Faria, round one, armbar, triangle armbar. So Jojo, she's 34. Maya, she's 31. So I think this is a pretty even matchup. Let's see where DraftKings have them in terms of the odds. Calderwood is 8,700, so they're pretty high on her, and they have Maya at 7,500. So you can score some pretty significant points in this matchup if one of these girls can go out there and get a finish, but I'm not quite sure. I'm sold that someone's going to get a finish. I'm actually surprised Calderwood is that high. I'm guessing maybe she scores a lot of points for significant strikes for the front kicks, the side kicks, not the side kicks, the leg kicks and stuff like that. So maybe they're counting that as a big factor for her to get a bunch of points scored and maybe for her to win the fight. you get some extra bonus points for your fighter as well. So Joanne Calderwood is 8,700 and Jennifer Maya is 7,500 for your DraftKings lineup. If I'm leaning with anybody in this, I don't know much about Maya. Just based on the caliber of fighters that they have fought, I'm leaning towards, well, Maya beat Modafari, who's pretty tough and pretty well-rounded, but that was back in 2019. It's not that long ago. So that's a pretty, man, so now I'm not even sure. I was saying Calderwood. I mean, Lipsky, she beat Lipsky. She lost to Cynthia Calvillo. She lost to Jessica Andrade. Choke. And she beat Andrea Lee and split in a tough fight. I thought that fight, you know, went back and forth. I'm leaning towards Calderwood. I'm thinking Calderwood's going to go out there and get it done. The next fight, Vicente Luque is back, taking on the always tough bad man, General Randy Rude Brown. Randy Rude Boy Brown. That's my dude. So 170 pounds. This is a great shot for Randy Brown to really put his name out there, getting a win over Vicente Luque. So now he beat Warley Alves, round two, triangle choke. He beat Brian Barberina, round three, punches, knees, and all that good stuff. And after that, before that, he lost to Nico Price in that ridiculous hammer fist from the bottom, which was wild. That was in the second round. And before that, he beat Mickey Gall by decision. Randy Brown, 30 years old, born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica, I believe he said. And you got Vicente Luque, 28 years old, and he's been in some wars so far in his UFC career. His last one with Nico Price, back and forth fight, that was a ridiculous fight. Doctor stopped it due to eye injury in the third round. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson went to a decision. Wonderboy pretty much outstruck him. It was just pretty much a kickboxing fight. And he had a split decision win over Mike Perry. And before that, so before he lost to Thompson, he was on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fight win streak over Nico Price. Wait, he fought Nico Price twice. Holy shit. Oh shit. He fought Nico Price twice. Okay. And both times he finished him. Wow. So let's start with the beginning of his UFC career. Not the Ultimate Fighter, where he lost to Mike Graves' decision. So he beat Hayder Hassan, round one, and a counter choke. He beat Herrera, round two, Darce choke. He beat Ubina, round one, punches. He beat Bilal Muhammad, round one, punches. He lost to Leon Edwards' decision. Beat Nico Price, Darce choke. Now, this is all on his streak again. He beat Chad Laprise, round one. He beat Jalen Turner, round one. Barberina, round three, Derek Krantz in round one, and Mike Perry split decision. And then he lost to Wonderboy. Then he beat Nico Price again. Now he's fighting Randy Brown. I like this fight for Vicente. I think his pressure and everything can make some trouble for Randy Brown. Vicente Luque coming in at $8,800 for the salary cap. And the price for Randy Brown is $7,400, which I'm actually really surprised about, because Randy Brown does finish fights. It's not like he's going out there point fighting, you know? Let me see. Randy Brown's last two fights were finishes. And the one before that, he got finished, and he beat Mickey Gall to a decision, Bilal Muhammad to a decision loss. And before that, he beat Brian Kamosi in round two by punches. So I'm kind of surprised that he's that low with the salary cap, but that is a guy I would potentially put on my team. But I do like Vicente Luque's chance in this one. It's a great fight for him, I think. Stylistically, the pressure could be a problem for Randy Brown, but obviously I'm rolling with Jamaica long time, always. General, big man ting, you see me? So I think Randy Brown could get it done. And listen to what I'm saying. I do believe, stylistically, Vicente Luque can win. But at the same time, if Randy Brown has got the right training in, I think he has all the tools in the world to win. He has sneaky, slick chokes that he's put me in before in jiu-jitsu. Obviously, he's a lot bigger than me. But his forearms are super thin so that he can get under your neck. You saw the ninja choke that he caught on, I think it was Warley Alves. So he's... versed in the area of jiu-jitsu, and he has a phenomenal jab that he used in his last fight that I thought really showed the growth in his abilities over the past few months and years. Peppering Warley Alves, and the same thing with Barberina. Got into a pretty much... He beat up Barberina pretty good. So like I said, I think he's gotten progressively better. I would not be surprised if he's even better than before. That's what I'm hoping for, because like I said, I'm picking him. But if people are looking stylistically, like if we're just going by the papers, by the books, I would say this favors, because the pressure style of Vicente Luque just going forward, I can see him trying to catch Randy Brown against the cage or something like that. So I can see that being an issue. Hopefully that is not the case, and Randy could go out there and get it done and keep the hype train going for all the Jamaican fighters in the UFC. So I like Vicente Luque. He's a tough dude, man. But it's what happens when you got guys that you like that end up fighting each other. So this should be a fun fight. Definitely for the fans. Definitely do not want to miss this one, because this is, like I said, Vicente Luque, he brings it every single time. Randy Brown, he brings it, and he's going to be in there to battle the entire time. So this should be a fun one. For me, it's a coin flip, but I'm hoping Randy Brown could go out there and get it done. I think Luque's boxing and his pressure makes things challenging, and his leg kicks makes things very, very challenging. He kind of reminds me of a bigger version of Pedro Munhoz. And that's, you know, that's a big compliment in my opinion. But I think his boxing is probably better and cleaner than Pedro's, at least from the last time we saw Pedro. Pedro hasn't fought since we fought last year, June. So I'm hoping he could get back out there and see how he's looking after our last fight. So, again, Randy Brown implementing that jab is going to be a huge weapon for him. Hopefully he can do that and make those strikes count and keep Luque on the outside and pick him apart with some of his kicks. And he just has to make sure his cardio is up to par. And that's why I said stylistically, I can see Luque pressuring and trying to eventually slow down Randy Brown with his pressure. And it's going to be the smaller cage. So, it could be difficult circling and pivoting away for 15 minutes in a smaller environment like that. So it's going to be a fun one. We got some more fun fights. We got Bobby Green taking on Lando Venata. I feel like these guys fought. Yeah, they did. They fought to a split draw in 2017 in October. So I actually do remember that fight. That was a pretty close fight. Venata coming off of Bobby Green coming off a big win over Clay Guida and losing to Francisco Trinaldo and losing to Jacare Clouse, both to two decisions, and beating Eric Coach and decision back in 2018. And that was before the draw to Lando Venata. Now, Venata, I believe he's coming off of a win, I think, if I'm not mistaken, coming off a win over Yancy Medeiros. And before that, he lost to Mark Diakese. And before that, he beat Mariano. And before that, he had a draw. Majority draw with Matt Frivola. And before that, he lost to Jacare Clouse and the draw to Bobby Green. And before that, he lost to David Taymor. And he had that really spectacular knockout over John McDessie back in 2016 after he made his UFC debut against Tony Ferguson. So this is a tough one, man. Sometimes I feel like Venata coasts too much. He kind of plays it cool too much. You know, sometimes he's like super relaxed and I'm chilling and I don't got to push the pace. And I think he lets guys kind of run up the scorecard on him a little bit too much. And then he's playing from behind and have to try to play catch up more than keep up. Or is it keep up and then instead of catch? I don't know. Something like that. You get what I'm saying. For this one, let's see what the odds have them. For this, Bobby Green is 8,000 and Lanada is 8,200 for your DraftKings picks. Let's just see any other fights that I'm looking forward to. Oh, Kevin Holland versus Trevin Giles. This is actually going to be a good one, I think. So Holland, 27 years old, a.k.a. Loudmouth, coming off a win. Round one over Anthony Hernandez. And before that, he lost to Brandon Allen, rear naked choke in the second round. But before that, he was on a 4-fight win streak. He beat Cherico. He beat Mershot. That was a grappling match. And he beat John Phillips. So 3-fight win streak. And then he had a snap by Brandon Allen. And now, back in win column, taking on Anthony Hernandez. And Holland is a 8,900 for your DraftKings picks. And his opponent, Trevin Giles, coming over a close fight with James Krause, came up a weight class to 185. So remember, James Krause used to fight at 155, came up to 170, having some success, fights when he feels like fighting. He owns a gym. He doesn't need to fight. He does real estate. He's flipping, chilling, doing some Airbnbs, short-term rentals, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So he's doing a lot of things that he doesn't need to actively fight. He fights when it's necessary, when he needs to. They asked him to step up. He stepped up, fought Trevin Giles at 185, gave the fans a hell of a show. Insane fight, I thought. They were out there wilding. First fight, I thought he dominated for the most part. Then he got taken down, you know, whatever. So the fight went back and forth, but they both had their moments. The third round, I thought Kraus did enough to win the fight, but split decision, and two judges gave it the other way for Trevin Giles. So Trevin Giles in the win column, coming off of two losses to Zach Cummings and to Gerald Mershot. So Mershot caught him in a choke guillotine, and Zach Cummings caught him in a guillotine. Third round. Crazy. But before that, he was on a 1-2. He beat Brandon Allen on the regional circuit. So he was on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 fight win streak, and 1-2 in the UFC before losing to Cummings, Mershot, and then beating James Krause. Giles, 27 years old. And again, his odds are, just in case you missed it, is 7,300 and Holland is 8,900. Actually, I didn't even say it the first time. I thought I'd said it, but I didn't. So that's going to be a fun fight, I think. I can't say much about the style of Giles. I know Holland, I feel like Holland has a lot more tools that he doesn't use. He kind of does like the awkward karate stuff that he was doing on like the Dana White Contender Series show. And I don't really know what his style is, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. I would probably characterize it as a little bit awkward, and he does some unorthodox things where he just kind of just, I don't want to say mix it up on the fly, but yeah, it kind of does mix it up on the fly. He just does his own thing. He just has his own feel and rhythm out there. So it's going to be a fun fight. And I think this entire card is fun from pretty much top to bottom. You got Frankie Sines taking on Jonathan Martinez, Ed Herman taking on Gerald Mershot, Ray Borg taking on some guy named Nathan Maness. Who is this guy? He's 29 years old. Oh, he's making his UFC debut against Ray Borg. Welcome to the UFC. That's a tough fight. You got Marcus Perez taking on Eric Spicely. You have Jamal Emmers taking on Timur Valiyev at Valiyev at 145. Valiyev normally fights at bantamweight. He's going up to 145. This is going to be good. Valiyev is 16-2 record. And Jamal Emmers is 17-5. Had a really close fight with Giga Chikadze. I thought split decision, back and forth with the grappling. I thought that almost won him the fight. But it seemed like he was a little too tentative in the first round and let Giga's get off too much in the first round. And pretty much he was starting from behind trying to play catch up or keep up, whatever you want to call it. But before that, he was on a 1-2-3-4 fight win streak and a lot of finishes. 1-2-3-4 finishes. Four finishes in a row, made his UFC debut. Now he's got another tough fight in Timur Valiyev. Now Jamal Emmers for this one, what is his odds? What are his odds? Emmers, 7,800, and Valiyev is 8,400. Let me see what Valiyev has done, though, in terms of, I know he's been fighting at PFL. He's 30 years old. His name is The Lucky. I'm not sure if I really want a name like that. Kind of reminds me of Josh the Fluke. What was his last name? He was a champion over for WEC at 145, and they call him The Fluke. Josh Crispy, I don't know, but he was the fluke, and sure enough, he ended up losing like four in a row after that. And I was like, dude, what are the odds of that? Like, he was winning everyone, they kept calling him like the fluke or whatever. And yeah, not a nickname I would want. So Valiyev decision over a guy named Costa for GFC 22. He beat Da Silva by punches in round one. He beat Magomedov. Yeah, decision. That was at PFL. He fought at PFL, beat Koga by decision, and he beat Josinaldo Silva, rear naked choke, in round three at PFL. And he fought for World Series of Fighting, beat Chris Gutierrez. He fought Chris Gutierrez twice, actually. The first one was a split decision. And then the second one, he won. So he lost split decision. Then they did a rematch for whatever reason. He got the nod and decided to do a rematch. I don't know why Gutierrez would oblige to that. Gave him a chance and came up short in the second. Well, this one, Valiev won this, the rematch. And yeah, so he made it unanimous and won it that way. Not quite sure why he would have done that to himself, but hey, sometimes people do rematches for whatever reasons. So this should be a fun fight. I'm not sure where Tamar is training out of anymore. I know before he was training out of New Jersey with Mark Henry and those guys. I see over here gym affiliations. It says Dagestani Fighter, so DF Team, and Jackson Winklejohn MMA. So I'm not sure if he's still over there at Jackson Wink or not, but we're going to find out. So the last fight I like is Chris Gutierrez versus Cody Durden. He's 11-2. Cody, he's 29 years old. And wow. So he's on a one. So he took a boxing fight. He won. He took a kickboxing fight. He won. One, he fought Todd Monroe twice in a row. Dr. Stoppage round one. He fought him again. Round three, finished him via armbar. So one, two, three, four, five, six, seven fight win streak right now. All finishes. He beat John Sweeney, finished round one. Webb, round one. Miley, round two by strikes. Rogers, round one by armbar. Schultz, round one by slam. And Todd Monroe, round three, armbar. So this guy's a finisher. Oh, he fought Dave Morgan. I wrestled this guy in college. He was actually a two-time national champ on D3, and he whooped my ass. He whooped my ass. I thought I was doing good in the first round. I was trying to dig in the underhooks on him, and then I got overconfident. I was like, yeah, I'm going to throw this little motherfucker. So I ran in with the under over, and then I was on my back. He put me in a cement job. Boom! I remember how tight that thing was. I was squealing. Not good. Not good. He had a pretty good start to his career, and then he just lost a bunch in a row. Lozano, Sean Santella, Travis Wynn, Claudio Ledesma, Cody Durham, John Sweeney. So it was like, damn, I don't know what happened. He was a really good wrestler, probably just plateaued in terms of the development of his skill. Sometimes it really does depend on where you go to cultivate your repertoire or your arsenal or your weapons, for lack of better words. So this Darden guy looks good. I'm liking this 7-fight win streak. He's 7,000. So he's pretty cheap for a guy who finishes everybody. Now, him fighting Chris Gutierrez, who comes in at 9,200, and I believe Chris Gutierrez is the most expensive guy on the DraftKings card on the lineup. So if you want to get Chris Gutierrez, he's the toughest guy right now. His calf kicks, what he did to his last opponent, and what was it, Vince Morales, round two leg kicks, and the doctor just stepped in and was like, dude, you're done. Not even the doctor, the ref. He fell down to the ground. I think he wanted out at that point, man. His legs were getting beat to shreds. Like, calf kicks, it's the smallest, one of the smaller muscles on your body, kind of like your forearms, typically depending on how big you are relative to your weight. So taking your big weapon in your legs and slamming it over and over into the calf, as opposed to kicking above the knee where you have a lot more meat and muscle, slows down the opponent's movement drastically. If you don't believe me, try it out with your friends, and obviously do this at your own risk, but try it out with your friends. Do a light kick to the calf and imagine someone slamming that kick down home multiple times to that one same position, and try to visualize the pain that we and these guys go through when they're eating way too many leg kicks, or should I say calf kicks, early on in the fight. It immobilizes you. Then you have to switch to southpaw or vice versa. And then you can't party. Now you're on one leg instead of two legs. Now you're with the crutches and you're dancing. And this is what happens. It sucks. So Chris Gutierrez, I think the odds makers got it right. But I would not be surprised if Darden were to go out. Like I said, he's a finisher, but the UFC jitters is a real thing. And it's a smaller octagon. I don't know if he really favors grappling more than striking. Let me see one more time. And how tall is he? Because Gutierrez is pretty tall. He's 5'9". So that could play a big factor. But he did a boxing fight and a kickboxing fight. So this could be a good one, man. There could be some room for an upset if Gutierrez decides to just strike it out on the feet. KO, rear naked choke, strikes, armbar, slam. So it seems like he can do it all. Armbar, pretty well-rounded. So it looks like he can strike and he can grapple a bit. So this should be a fun fight for the fans, especially, like I said, Chris Gutierrez is a tough dude. I'm looking forward to his return. He fought the week before I did in Vegas. So the end of May, I'm looking forward to his return again to see how he does, because I'm, like I said, he's a tough dude, and I'm expecting some fireworks. But other than that, if you guys haven't already, hit the like button. And once again, thank you guys for always subscribing and for tuning in. Actually, it's not always subscribing, always tuning in. Always subscribing doesn't even make any sense. Thank you guys for always tuning in. I'm about to get ready to do some sparring. I'm running a little bit late already behind the clock, but I'm about to get out and get it going. Let me know your picks and who is your DraftKings picks. And I forgot, use my promo code FUNKMASTER to get your free entry so you can win some $1 million. Well, it depends on what tournaments you enter. But obviously, you get a free entry. Remember, all you have to do is make a minimum of $5 deposit. Go check it out, DraftKings.com, and tell them that your boy sent you by using my discount code. Well, it's not really a discount code. Use my promo code, FUNKMASTER. And just like that, we are out. Peace. Cheers.
That's the show. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.